Hallelujah. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of James, please. The book of James, chapter number 1. Book of James, chapter number 1. It is good to be in God's house today. James, chapter number 1. There's so much I love about this church. I love the church's choir. I love our youth ministries. I love our food pantry ministry. I love our front line. I love our Awana. I love our Sunday school. I mean, highways and head. I love all that. But I'll tell you what I do love more than anything. That when I come here, I sense the touch of God on this place. Ain't nothing better than having the touch of God on a church. Somebody help me right there. Boy. James chapter number 1. If you're there, look at verse number 18. I'll read down to the end of the chapter. I'm going to take you somewhere this morning. And I want you to look at these verses with me. The Bible says, of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh in the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Boy, that's strong. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Our Father, right now I pray you'll touch me. I pray the power of God will be on me this morning. That when I start this new year, and God, I'll start it with your power on me. And Lord, I'll end it with your power on me. Lord, John Smith could do a lot of things this year, Lord, but the one thing I can't do without. I can't do without your power. I can't do without your presence and your anointing. And I pray this morning, when I mention the word anointing, Lord, you know what I'm talking about, your approval. I want you to be pleased with me. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. James, let me say something about the book of James. I'll give you a little bit of introduction. James, he was not one of these fellas that beat around the bush. He wasn't one of these guys that smooze you. You know what I'm talking about. He's just a straightforward, let it rip. Let you know where he stands. You read James 1, James 2, James 3, James 4, James 5. Let me tell you what he does. He tells it like it is. By the way, I like a tell it like it is guy. I don't want somebody to try to patronize me or come around me and make me feel real fuzzy. I'm not fuzzy. I'm a mess. I need real preacher. I want to tell you, these chapters all deal with different subjects. But let me summarize it. Let me summarize the book of James this way. In two words: grow up. He talks about maturity. Grow up. I want to tell you what. If you're 40 years old or 35 years old or 25 years old, you ought to be acting a little bit more mature. You need to grow up. That's what James, really what he is saying is you need to grow spiritually. Let me ask you this question. I want to be straight with you this morning. Have you grown this year? Let me say it even plainer. Are you a better Christian January the 1st than you was last January the 1st? It ain't time to pray, okay? Quiet in here, amen? James is saying we need to move forward. We need to go forward. Let me tell you something. If there's one thing about me, I want you to know something. I believe in going forward. Without a vision, the people perish. I believe we've got to go forward. I don't believe there's time for retreat. There's people dying and going to hell. There's families that are collapsing. There's people all around us that are hurting. We cannot be in the status quo. We've got to keep going forward in our maturity and growing for Jesus. Amen. Chapter 1, let me give you two thoughts here real quickly, but just kind of keep on introducing a moment. Chapter 1, in the first half of the chapter, deals with the Christian and his battles. And talks about enduring trials. And also he talks about enjoying trials. He said, count it all joy. I don't know about you, but all of us have faced things last year. How many faced some things last year you didn't think you'd ever have to face something like that? Yeah. Trials. James talks about the Christian and his battles. But secondly, and this is what I want to preach on today, James is talking about the Christian and his Bible. I want you to know something. Probably no one in here stronger than I am about the defense of the King James Bible. But I got to be honest with you. There's some of us, we're so caught up in the defense of it that we're not using it in our lives in a practical manner. Somebody help me preach.
Amen.
By the way, I'm not going to spend the next 365 days of this year beating you over the head with the Bible and tell you believe this. You already ought to believe it. We've already declared. Somebody help me preach right there. Let me say this. If you're going to grow, you cannot bypass the Bible. Let me say it again. If you're going to grow, you cannot bypass the Bible. Now look what James does. James likens the Bible to a mirror. To a mirror. I want to preach this morning on this subject. Standing in front of the mirror. By the way, mirrors don't lie. I woke up this morning, and I want to be honest with you. I walked in, first thing I looked in, the mirror. And the only two hairs I got were over here. And they stuff all over my face, I looked bad. You said, what'd you do? I done something about it. I sure didn't leave the house like that. I combed my four or five hairs, shaved my little face. I still got a baby face. And put my balm on, put my obsession on. You said, why you wear that? Because it drives Marguerite crazy. And she wasn't well today, and I just thought I'd just give her a little crazy this morning. Somebody say amen. But mirrors don't lie. Somebody help me preach right there. Mirrors tell the truth. I want this church this morning, and every Christian, will you do me a favor? Will you look in the mirror? The mirror of this. I'll give you three things and let you go home. Number one, I want you to notice the radical word. I'm glad for the word of God. Look at verse number 18. Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth. I want you to know the only way into God's family is by the Word of God. Somebody help me. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It wasn't a song that got me saved. It was, praise God. It wasn't shaking the preacher's hand that got me saved. It wasn't somebody slapping me on the head got me saved. I'll tell you what got me saved. I heard the radical Word of God. I heard about my sin. I heard about my Savior. And I received Him as Savior. And I repented of my sin. And I trusted Him. Well, hallelujah. I'd have never knew that all have sinned and come short of glory of God without the Bible. I'd have never knew that there's none righteous, no, not one, without the Bible. I'd have never knew that God commendeth His love toward us and while we're yet sinners without the Bible. I'd have never knew that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord without the Bible.
Right.
I never knew that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish without the Bible. I'd have never knew my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Somebody help me right there. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. For the Father which gave me is greater than I, and I and the Father are one. I never knew none of that without the Bible. I didn't hear that in the Koran. I didn't hear that in the Talmud. By the way, I didn't hear that from the Book of Mormon. Hey, Taz Russell, I didn't hear that from your teachings. And I never learned any of that from the Watchtower. Somebody help me preach right there. Huh? So, Let me give you. How many of you ever once in a while the devil works on you? The rest of you lie. Somebody asked me a question. Said, Preacher Sweeney, have you ever in your 43 years of being saved, almost 44 now, has the devil ever tried to tell you what to say? Yep. I just didn't believe him. But I want to tell you what. I didn't take him back to a warm feeling. Somebody help me. I didn't take him back to some kind of emotional experience. Now you hear me. I'm probably the most emotional guy in this room. But I want to tell you, my warm feeling and my emotion won't get me anything but a little bit of feeling good. But I want to tell you where I'll take the devil to. I'll take him to the radical Word of God. He can't stand it. Jesus defeated him with the Bible. And we can defeat him with the Bible.
Amen.
Whew. Yeah, man, we see ya. Supernatural birth. We see a sovereign motive. Well, glory to God. We see spiritual blessings. I'm blessed in heavenly places in Christ Jesus this morning. Let me give you a second thing. Say with me, look at verse 19. I like preaching like this. Right from the Bible. That way, somebody can't say, well, you're picking on me. You're pulling stuff out just to pick on me. How am I picking on you? I'm just reading the book. Verse 19, wherefore, my blood brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Second thing, not only do I see a radical word, I see a restraining ways. I like that. I like that swift to hear thing. Can I ask the congregation a real simple question? How many ears did God give you? How many mouths did God give you? Well, okay, this is real deep. If that's true, then God's probably wanting you to do more listening and less talking. You know what's wrong with our day? We got people, all they want to do is talk. And run off their jaws. when the Bible said to be swift to hear. You said, what's going to be my help in 2017? Not your philosophy. I'll tell you the only help. Be swift to hear the Word of God. You know what you need to do every service? You need to bring your Bible and follow the preacher, your cell phone. I don't care what you read the Bible. I'd rather you use the Bible, because one of these days they're going to try to take them. I want you to keep your Bible. Amen. I really attended this. I tell you what I've done this morning. I did it. I didn't do 10 either. I done 14. I read 14 pages of the Bible. Boy, this stuff caught my attention. By the way, if you read the Bible with a sincere heart and you be readily attentive to the Word of God, it will speak to you. Then secondly, I seen a reserved articulation. Be slow to speak. Boy, oh boy. You don't want to keep you real quiet. It's the Word of God. Now, I wrote this down in my notes. By the way, I still do old fashioned. I wrote this down in my notes. Can I read it to you? Just write out my notes. How much would you talk today about? How much would you talk about today if the only stuff you said lined up with the Bible? Well, some folks wouldn't talk for years. Amen. Hey, some people would be quiet all day. Let's just tell it like it is. Most of our talk is not centered around the principles of the Word of God. They're centered around us. Good preaching, preacher. Some of the muttering we hear and the complaints we hear. By the way, it's time to quit muttering in 2017. God's been so good to y'all. God's been so good to me. We ought to raise our hand and give Him glory. Quit your muttering. Quit your gossiping. Quit running your mouth. Quit engaging in slander. Amen. Then thirdly, I've seen this. We need to refrain from anger. You know what the Bible does? It tempers your temper. Now, I'm going to tell you all this. God knows I ain't lying. I'm telling the fact. I'm still dealing with that thing called temper. Ain't no place for it in God's way. You say, do you have one? Still do. But I want you to know something. If I'm slow to anger, it tempers my temper. There's some of you, every day you blow up. Somebody help me. Are you looking in the mirror yet? Just blow up. I mean, you got a chip on your shoulder and say, knock it off. And by the way, there's always somebody going to knock mine off. I live to knock them off of people. Refrain from anger. One of the nastiest attitudes that can be shown is an angry, bitter spirit. Amen. You want people to be attracted to you? You be sweet. You be loving. Amen. Hey, you can preach hard and still not be angry. You can preach the Bible just as hard as you can and not be mean at it. Am I preaching? I mean, there's some preachers I know, they get up in the morning to decide who they're going to offend today. That's not what I want to do. I want to help you in the Word of God. I want you to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Refrain from anger. Last thing I'm done. This is where it really gets straight. Look at verse 21. Are y'all there? Say amen. I see a removed wickedness. Okay? This morning, as some of you, when you looked in the mirror, there's stuff hanging out your nose and your hair was messed up and you had lipstick on your teeth. You know what? I'm looking at you today. I think you've done something about it. Hello? Am I preaching? By the way, what's a mirror for, Lois? It's to straighten me up. I didn't have Marguerite to tie my tie this morning. God bless her. I didn't have her to pick out my suit. I was wondering if I had two black shoes on. I came here and preached one Sunday morning with a black one and a brown one on. Somebody, I stayed right behind the pulpit. Somebody said, boy, he acted a little bit defiant. He was a little bit, you know, he's not near as active as you. Who would be active if you had a brown and black shoe on? Hello? You know what a mirror does? It makes you look, it makes you see where you, what you are.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? Look at verse 21. I'll try to explain these words to you. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness. I did a study on filthiness. Boy, oh boy. That word speaks of carnal desires, sensual lust. By the way, if you intend on staying dirty, I'll give you some advice. Don't get in the mirror. But if you intend on getting straight, then get in the mirror. And that word, filthiness, carnal desires. I'm just going to tell you, you need to get the nasty out of your life. Amen. Sensualness. Pornography. It's quiet in here, isn't it? You know what? I got to tell you something. Our world, our churches, even our churches, are eat up with people watching pornography. Hey, man, you watching some woman on TV, you cheating on your wife. Boy, it's quiet in here now, isn't it? Hey, woman, you watching some filthy stuff on your TV, you're cheating on your husband. See, I don't like that scripture where it says, he that lusts of his heart has committed adultery already, but I don't want to preach on that. By the way, I'm just going to say it like it is. We need to get men quit lusting after women. But we need to get women quit dressing for lust. This is the house of God. I might as well just get straight this morning. It's not a place for hooker dress. Oh, I know. You're going to go out here and say, hey, he's there to do. Listen to me. This is God's house. Your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to give you something. I read this week. Somebody asked me about dressing a little bit. I ain't big on this. I don't even know what I'm saying. I'm just going to skip it to you. I was studying about Babylon and the reference to Babylon. You know what Isaiah said about Babylon? He said your thigh is exposed. Now, I want you to know something. You come to church, your thigh exposed. You ain't dressing right. I didn't even come to preach on that, but I thought I would. I want to tell you, some of you said, well, what are you trying to do? I'm trying to get you to step up your game. You're expecting me to step up my game. I've looked in the mirror. There's still some things about John Smith that doesn't quite meet it yet. I want to be a better pastor. I want to have more of a heart for God. I want to reach more souls this year. I failed some last year. I looked in the mirror. I didn't like what I saw. I repented of my sin. And I said, God, it'll be different this year. I'm a concern. We use every barometer but the Word of God. It's in my preaching. I might as well say this. People get all, you know, this Facebook junk is killing me. They got a survey out. I didn't know this till this week. You know how much time an average young person spends on Facebook? 11 hours and 10 minutes. Social media. Not necessarily Facebook, Twitter, Facebook, all that. Now, they ain't got one for adults yet. You know why? You adults is kind of them people that, you got them split screens. You know, you got your computer and then your split screen. So we don't know how much you're on it. But I want to tell you this. If your Facebook is keeping your face out of the Word of God, then your face is in the Facebook too much. I'm not against it. I'm just saying, what has happened to us? We're a mess. Hello. Man, it is good preaching. It's a little bit tough, but it's good. I might as well say this. Since we're starting the year off, this wave of Christian rock. Wait a minute. I'm not near as narrow as some of you think I am. But this wave of Christian rock that's hitting our churches. I love chicken. How many love chicken? Do you say how you like chicken? I like it broiled. I like it breaded and fried. I love chicken. But why? There's one thing I won't do. I ain't getting in a dumpster and getting me no chicken out of no dumpster. And that's what Christian rock is. Maybe some good words wrapped up in a bunch of filthy music. And I'm not getting my music out of a dumpster. And that ain't being radical. That's just being factual. I'm going to say this. I'm done. You ain't going to get fixed up today unless you take a real good look in this. By the way, this will tell you if you're saved or not. Have you ever received Christ as Savior? Have you come by the way of this book? Not feelings, not baptism, not good works, not church membership. You repented of your sin, trusted the Word of God, and it's story about Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
And Christian, you're in January the 1st. You can do something about this year.
That's right.
You can't do much about last year. Come on now. That's some things I wish I could do over from last year, Jeff. I'd do them right now. Can't do it. But I am at January the 1st. And I can do something now. Because I took a look in the mirror this morning. And there's a few things, Chris, that needs adjusting. I'm going to tell the church this. I'm planning on stepping up my game this year. I'm going to try to be better this year than I was last. I want to improve. I took a look in the mirror. I didn't like everything I saw. But it can't be different. Bow your head with me. It'd be us, I suppose. No one looking around. How many right now say, Pastor John, if I died today, I know 100% I'd go to heaven because I trusted Christ alone for salvation. Slip up your hand if you know that. God bless you. Amen. How many of you couldn't raise your hand and say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't want to enter 2017 without Jesus. Preacher, I want to be saved. Just slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Not a Christian, but I want to be. How many Christians in this room? If we look at the mirror of the Word of God, you can say, Preacher Smith, I need to make some improvements this year. I do. There's some things out of order. Preacher John, the mirror told me that. How many Christians in this room? You want 2017 to be the best and you want to get all that junk out of your life. Raise your hand. Slip them up. I want God to radically move in my life. I'll tell you what I'd do if I should. If you're here, raise your hand. It might not be a bad idea on the first day of the year. Come around this altar. Do business with God. And say, hey, it's going to be different. Stand with me. There's folks already coming to the altar. You come on. Our Father, Lord, I took a look this morning. Lord, You know when we had that talk in my office? God, I want to be so much better this year. Bless this church. Bless our people. Folks are coming. Touch them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on. Come on. Just about. I want my family to be better this year. I do, preacher. I want my kids to know daddy and mommy loves God. I want my Sunday school to be better. My youth group to be better. My senior group to be better. Oh God. My college students to be better. Praise his name.